a seed of altruism. How can a human being who is created with the qualities of absolute egoism, who doesn't feel any desires except the ones that are dedicated to his own body, who cannot even imagine anything outside of his own perceptions, how can a human being proceed beyond the desires of the body and grasp something that exists outside the realm of his natural sensory organs? One is created with a longing to fill one's egotistic desires with pleasure. Given such a condition, a person does not have any possibility to alter himself and to transform his qualities to the opposite ones. In order to create the possibility of transforming egoism into altruism, the Creator, when devising egoism, placed into it a seed of altruism, which a human being is capable of cultivating with the help of study and acting by the methods of Kabbalah. When a person feels the dictating desires of his body, he's not able to stand up to them. Thus, all one's thoughts are directed towards carrying out the commands of the body. In such a state, a person has no freedom of will to act, or even to think, about anything other than self-gratification. On the other hand, during the time of spiritual elevation, a person experiences the aspirations towards spiritual growth and towards departure from the physical desires that pull him down. At such a time, an individual does not even perceive the desires of the body, and hence does not require the right to a free choice between the material and the spiritual. Consequently, by remaining in the state of egoism, an individual does not possess the strength to choose altruism. But once the individual perceives the grandeur of the spiritual, he no longer faces a choice, since the spiritual is already desired. Therefore, the entire notion of free will consists of choice. Which force will dominate that individual, egoism or altruism? But when does such a natural state occur in which a person is able to make a free choice? Thus, there's no other path for a person but to attach himself to a teacher, to delve into Kabbalah books, and to join a group that aspires to reach the same goals, to make himself open to the influence of thoughts about altruism, of spiritual strength. Consequently, the altruistic seed will awaken in that person, the seed which has been implanted in each of us, but which sometimes remains dormant for many life cycles of a person. This is the essence of a person's free will. Once a person begins to feel the awakening altruistic desires, he will aspire to perceive the spiritual without much effort. A person who strives to attain spiritual thoughts and actions, but who's not yet firmly attached to his own personal convictions, must protect himself from contact with people whose thoughts are constantly situated in their egoism. This is especially true of the individuals that aspire to live by faith above reason. They must avoid all contact with the options of those who travel through life within the bounds of their reason, because they're opposite in the essence of their philosophy. It has been said in the books of Kabbalah that the reason of ignoramuses is opposite to the reason of the Kabbalah. Thinking within the bounds of one's own reason implies that a person, first and foremost, calculates the benefits of his actions. On the other hand, the reason of the Kabbalah is that faith above human reason presupposes that a person's actions will not be concerned in any manner with the egotistic calculations of reason, or with the possible benefits that may ensue as a result of these actions. A person in need of help from other people is considered to be poor. A person who's happy with what he has is considered to be rich. If he begins to discern that all his actions are a result of his egoistic desires and thoughts, then he'll begin to feel poor, and thus arrives at an understanding of his true spiritual state, as well as the realization of the egoism and evil that's inside of him. The feeling of bitterness from the realization of his true spiritual state gives rise to an aspiration to correct himself. If this aspiration reaches the required degree of intensity, then the Creator sends his light of correction into this vessel. In this manner, an individual begins to ascend along the levels of the spiritual ladder. People in general are raised in agreement with their egoistic nature, including the realm of observing the commandments of the Bible, and they continue to automatically uphold the notions that were acquired as part of their upbringing. This serves to assure that these people will never depart from this particular level of connection with the Creator. Thus, when a person's body, or his desire to receive, asks him why he observes the commandments, he answers that this is the way he was brought up, and it is the accepted way of life for him, as well as for the community. This is the most reasonable base with which a person cannot fall, because habit becomes second nature. Therefore, no efforts are needed in order to perform natural actions, since these actions are dictated both by the body and by the mind. Such a person doesn't run the risk of transgressing that which is most familiar and natural to him. For instance, he will not get a desire to drive on Saturday. But if a person desires to engage in an action that was not inherently accepted by that person as part of his upbringing, and if it did not enter his being as a natural need of the body, then even the most insignificant action will be accompanied by the questions of the body as to why that person is engaging in that particular action, what prompted that person to leave the state of relative tranquility. In this case, a person is confronted by a test and a choice, because neither the person in question nor the society from which that person comes engage in the actions that this person plans to undertake. There's no one who could serve as an example and no one who could support the individual's intentions. It's not even possible to gain comfort in the thought that others also think along the same lines as that individual. Since he can't find any example, either in his own upbringing or in society, that person must come to the conclusion that it is the fear of the Creator that prompts him to act and to think in a new fashion. Thus, there's no one to turn to for support and understanding except the Creator. Since the Creator is one and is the only support to an individual, the individual is also considered to be singular and not part of the masses among which that person was born and raised. Since that person can find no support in the masses and is solely dependent on the mercy of the Creator, he becomes worthy of receiving the light of the Creator, which serves as a guide to that person along this path. Every beginner comes across one common question. Who decides the direction of this path, the person or the Creator? In other words, who chooses whom? Does a person choose the Creator, or does the Creator choose the person? From one point of view, a person must say that the Creator chose him in particular, by virtue of what is known as personal providence. As a result, a person must be thankful to the Creator that he gave him the opportunity to do something for the sake of the Creator. But then he must consider why the Creator chose him and gave him such an opportunity. Why should he observe the commandments? For what purpose? He reaches the conclusion that all this was given to him so that he should act for the sake of the Creator, that the work itself is its own reward, whereas the distancing from this work would be punishment. This work is the free choice of the person for the Creator. He's prepared to request that the Creator give him the intention in his actions, that he benefit the Creator with these actions. This is the free choice that a person makes.